Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today, we are so lucky to be talking with Nala Cardillo of the Haystack Rock Awareness Program and John Newman, owner and chef of two Cannon Beach restaurants, Fishes and Newman's 988. And we are going to be chatting with both of them about a really wonderful program called the Sustainable Seafood Invitation. It's a program that helps consumers and businesses make choices for healthy oceans. Did I get that right, Nala?
You sure did. Thank you.
Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We're so happy to have you. And we always start our show asking you to tell us a little bit about how you ended up in Cannon Beach. And John, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. Well, let's see. I traveled up here way back in 92 and saw the beautiful Oregon coast and loved doing things in the at the beach. And when I was at cooking school, I heard that the Pacific Northwest was kind of hot. It was like 1990. It's hot food-wise. Right. And so wanted to kind of tour and check it out and came through Cannon Beach on our way to Seattle. And then on the way back, I just was driving out of a parking lot, and there was a remodel going on, and I was joking with my wife. I said, hey, that could be my next job. Went back home. The next thing you know, I looked in the paper, and I got the job that I wanted to. So that's how I wound up here. That was one of the...
And that was... Cannon Beach at a restaurant?
It was actually in Pacific City, Oregon.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so it was one of those weird touristy things, but I wound up just looking at a guy rebuilding a restaurant, and it turns out I got the job at that restaurant.
That's crazy.
So it's kind of fate meant to be.
And then you were coming from where? Where were you?
I was in the Bay Area, San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And so we lived there. We got married there. And then we moved up here in 95 and was in Pacific City for about 3.5 years. Landed at the Stephanie Inn in Cannon Beach in 98. And then was there for 8 years. And then got to open up Newman's and then Fishes last summer.
That's so great. Yeah. Cannon Beach is so lucky.
Well, the North Coast is
lucky. That's true. That's true.
Let's be honest.
Oregon is lucky.
So sweet.
No, it's true. It's true.
You're so
awesome
sweet.
Food.
Thank you.
And speaking of lucky, we're pretty lucky to have Nala here.
Thank you.
And how did you get here, Nala?
Well, I was listening to John's story and thinking I had a sort of accidental good fortune, maybe fate intervened in mysterious ways. I was living in Southern Oregon. I've been here now almost 5 years. And so at that time, I was working with environmental educators in Southern Oregon. And we were considering website options. So I was looking at the Environmental Education Association of Oregon's website and thinking like, oh, they've got these tools and this is where they list their jobs. And okay, I see there's this, there was a job listed in Cannon Beach that was my dream job. And so I applied and, you know, like John said, it was not something I had sort of seen coming, but I was so excited that I did have the opportunity to move here. And so I've been very privileged to be affiliated with the program and to get to know this part of the coast.
Mention what the program is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know that we said it. It's the Haystack Rock Awareness Program.
Exactly. And it's a City of Cannon Beach program that has been doing education and stewardship at Haystack Rock for the last 28 years or so and has really grown to keep up with the growing number of visitors that are coming to our coast.
Yeah, it's amazing the work that you guys do in outreach and talking with people on the beach just about not just Haystack Rock, but sort of about the coast and interacting with the coast and interacting with the ocean, which kind of brings us a little bit to the thing that has brought the two of you together.
Absolutely.
And you were telling us a little bit earlier, Nala, and I think this is great for you to give this background to people. So you brought this through a grant, brought a program to Cannon Beach, to the North Coast, really. That's this Sustainable Seafood Invitation, and explain to people what that is.
Sure. So Travel Oregon partnered with an organization called Sustainable Travel International to offer a new, to develop a new grant called the Oregon Travel Philanthropy Fund to really engage Oregon visitors, Oregon tourists, in local sustainable activities. And so with the 7 tourism regions across the state, they had applications, and the Friends of Haystack Rock submitted a project proposal called the Sustainable Seafood Invitation that would encourage coastal visitors to engage in what more fun way to engage in the beach than to eat delicious sustainable seafood. And so the project was a nice fit for Travel Oregon because it promoted interactive tourism in our community and supported mm-hmm. local businesses like John's Fish's Restaurant. And then it supported the Haystack Rock Awareness Program and Friends of Haystack Rock educational focus. And while the subject of sustainable seafood is a very broad one, mm-hmm. and we'll just touch on a bit of it today, it lends itself very nicely to the environment of Haystack Rock because there are animals right at Haystack Rock that visitors can see, like Dungeness crab, that find their way onto dinner plates at places like Fish's. And so talking with our visitors not only about the life of Haystack Rock and mm-hmm. how we can interact as observers, but also how we can make choices individually that support a healthy ocean, healthy families, healthy community, healthy restaurants, and sort of how we all work together mm-hmm. to keep our coast outstandingly beautiful and to engage our visitors in that process. And it's something that can be, you know, thought about here on the Oregon coast, but certainly applied in the Midwest or on the East Coast mm-hmm. or overseas. So it's really something that has broad-ranging parallels.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. And are you finding that the visitors are really getting it?
We've had really positive feedback. We're really kind of on the beginning part mm-hmm. of our sharing this with the public. This is really a partnership on many levels. So we've done a lot of behind-the-scenes work with Travel Oregon, Sustainable Travel International, the partners that are funding the grant. And in Cannon Beach, I know two of those partners are Cannon Beach Vacation Rentals and Martin Hospitality contributing. So like if a guest stays at one of their properties, funds from their visit contribute to the overall
marvelous.
Grant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so
and then
nice.
Across the state, many partners are contributing to the grant, and then 7 projects, including ours, are being shared with people. And we have reached out to all of the businesses in our community to invite their participation, and we're mm-hmm. very excited to work with Fish's. And John is our first official partner recognized by the Seafood Watch Program of Monterey Bay Aquarium.
That's so great. So, John, tell us, why did you get involved in this?
Well, I was thinking about that question, and it really stems back to when I decided to be a chef and go to cooking school, and I'm sensitive to the all the things that I get to put my hands on and how I get to create things, and I count it a huge blessing to be living and working here and dealing with fish and all of the bounty that Oregon offers. Seriously, it's great. So with that, it'd have to be, you know, comes responsibility and, you know, knowledge, and not just ego chef and mm-hmm. trying to promote and make money. It's yeah. more than that. It's really because it's when you measure the work you've done and the difference you make and what that looks like and the impact. Mm-hmm. It's with seafood. It's with local farms. You know, other proteins, recycling, all the way that you manage the business. So I did it because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
It's important that you can wrap your mind around that amidst the 10,000 details I'm dealing with in a day
hard to believe here in August.
Well, I'm curious, what kind of a commitment has been asked of you? I mean, so you're a partner in this program. What does that mean that you're, aside from just like, so you're only choosing to serve seafood that is considered sustainable from sustainable fisheries.
Yeah. Correct.
What else is there that's asked of you?
Well, as far as that topic goes, I've always been in this business of sustainability mm-hmm. and with the Newmans, you know, mm-hmm. I want to do local and sustainable seafood. And then the Seafood Watch thing came. So to answer that question, it's the 100% commitment to have served sustainable seafood. And so they give you guidelines. And what mm-hmm. you do is you take the fish that you're using, where it's from, the species, and then you plug it into a calculator. It's actually this kind of seafood calculator, they call it. So you put the name of the fish, and then where it's from, how it's harvested, and then it comes out whether or not it's on the avoid list or the best or good alternative or the best choice. So what's asked of us at Fish's, and I do it anyway at Newman's, which mm-hmm. we'll get certified there as well soon, but it's basically to honor that mm-hmm. and serve food that was within those ranges, so you're participating in keeping the species sustainable and avoid and mm-hmm. don't use fish and products that aren't.
So can you tell our listeners a little bit about what is on the menu at Fish's? Obviously fish, but sort of
yeah.
a little bit more detail.
Well, Fish's sushi and Japanese cuisine, we serve sushi, you know, and as I try to honor cultures.
Delicious sushi.
Thank you, Nala. Well, my style and the food in this adventure is to try and honor that style of cuisine mm-hmm. and stick within the realm of that style and the cultural influence of the cuisine. So we're doing sushi and sashimi and noodles and tempura and some teriyaki. So those are some items that we're using there. As far as the seafood goes, Dungeness crab, obviously, right. you know, from locally here. You know, the salmon, okay? Mm-hmm. The albacore tuna is running these days. Yeah. It's absolutely delicious. Right. You know, what else we got on the menu?
I have your menu right here. Let me just look.
Yeah, the hamachi that we use, which is the mm-hmm. yellowfin, that's a, yeah. a good choice.
Right.
And then those are some of the basic things. You know, I don't use, you know, toro or bluefin. It's just not right to try to.
So I just kind of want to back up too, because you've mentioned something, and this may be something that people are unaware of. I think a lot of people know about the program Seafood Watch, but a lot more people probably don't know about it. And this is a program that was started at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, which is kind of a groundbreaking aquarium on the central coast of California. And they started this program a number of years ago. And they produce a lot of different literature and guides for people, for consumers, basically, so that to help you make good choices about what kind of seafood you're consuming. And I have in my hand, Nala had some great guides that she's handing out. They're little pocket guides called Seafood Watch. It's super cool. I didn't know they were doing a sushi guide as well. Mm-hmm. But there's a West Coast seafood guide. And it's just a little fold-out card that you can keep in your wallet, in your pocket, that can help you if you're out at a restaurant and there's seafood on the menu, there's some kind of fish on the menu, and you want to know if you as a consumer, is this sustainable? And you can look at it, and they have best choices, good alternatives, and then avoid, you know. And so, for example, I'm looking at this, at the sushi one, some of the best choices, you know, it would be salmon from Alaska, and then an avoid would be the bluefin tuna. And that would be because the bluefin tuna fishery is unsustainable. It's overfished, or it's considered threatened, or something like that. So, yeah. So the things that are on the avoid list, there's a reason why, and it's because those populations of fish are. Am I right, Nala? I'm just looking at you.
I was going to jump in and add something that's really neat that Seafood Watch does. They are, as you said, they are a well-resourced, science-backed organization, and they partner with a number of other organizations that are very interested in sustainable fisheries practice, like the Marine Stewardship Council. And so this pocket guide is really sort of like a, you know, a cliff notes. It's very mm-hmm. abbreviated and short. It's a great handy guide that you can have in your hand, stick in your wallet or your pocket. But also Monterey Bay Aquarium has an app, a Seafood Watch app for both iPhone and Android phones. And so, for example, if you asked me, so what is it about bluefin tuna that is not sustainable? I could enter it into the app and pull up, you know, summary information, or I could pull up detailed information to learn, are there things that maybe could be changed to make that industry more sustainable? Mm-hmm. Because obviously we'd love to keep eating bluefin tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Or are there things about the health impacts for people, like mercury contamination, that might be something that we need to avoid until that issue is resolved? So mm-hmm. I think the science is always learning, that the fisheries industries are always improving their practices so that we can, we have a handy pocket guide right now, but we have more details on the website. And then as more science and industry changes mm-hmm. occur, that can be updated.
Yeah.
Let me add to that. I've done a lot of research before opening the restaurant mm-hmm. to make sure that I can be within the realm of that, of being sustainable and sensitive to the species that we're mm-hmm. using. And it's interesting because along the lines of what we're talking about, they're actually developing a farm salmon, which are trying to make a sustainable product. And I thought, man, that is advancing this idea and trying to get it so that it's not taboo, you know? So
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick little station break. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you are just joining us, we're talking with Nala Cardillo of Haystack Rock Awareness Program and John Newman, owner and chef of two Cannon Beach restaurants, Fishes and Newman's 988.
And we're talking about the Sustainable Seafood Invitation program that Nala is helping to coordinate, which is looking at helping consumers make good choices about seafood that they consume. And so it has the response been pretty positive? And I ask that because, you know, I think especially here in Oregon, you know, anywhere in the West Coast or anywhere where you have a lot of your economy dependent upon fishing, fishing can be a pretty contentious topic,
especially
and
here. Yeah,
I mean, and I always feel nervous wading into it. It's just fraught with politics and emotion and history, and it's one of those things that I think we're all sometimes afraid to talk about, but I want to not be afraid to talk about it because I think you need to have honest conversations about it. One of the things I like about the Seafood Watch is that it really is very science-based. I mean, it's not emotional or political. It's just they're looking at it scientifically. Mm-hmm. But what's the response been for both of you? I mean, like, what are people saying when you talk about it?
Well, I think one of my more, obviously our program, Haystack Rock Awareness Program, staff and volunteers are on the beach at low tide throughout the summer. And so we are distributing information to visitors on the beach if it's, you know, relevant to the interests of the visitor. But I also had the opportunity last Tuesday at the Cannon Beach Farmers Market to have an information booth for Friends of Haystack Rock and really talk with people in a more focused manner than on the beach when everything is so distracting and exciting. And so I think, for me, what's exciting is to start the conversation. And I, by no means, have all the information. John's done a lot of research, and I feel like any question that someone might have, whether it might be contentious or friendly or enthusiastic, it's a great starting point for learning. And mm-hmm. our program is really focused on stewardship through education, protecting mm-hmm. the ocean resources through education. So, for example, one of my questions that I'm researching right now, my favorite sushi has always been unagi, freshwater eel. Mm-hmm. It's on the avoid list. So I, as a consumer, am interested in learning, well, why is that the case? And where is unagi coming from? And how is it being harvested? And how can I find ways to support unagi fishermen in the future? Or mm-hmm. So I feel like any issue that has a strong edge to it has an opportunity for learning and for win-win. And mm-hmm. so I'm very excited to have any kind of conversation, you know, whether it starts off friendly or hostile, and just use it as a way for us to learn, because I want to support our economy, mm-hmm. our healthy ocean, our health. I want to eat healthily.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I might eat a Cheeto now and then, but I'd like to keep working on better practices. So I really feel like any question is a good one in any conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So on the beach, it's been very positive. And a lot of people have actually, I guess, would I've met with a sort of a blank face, like, oh, what is this? I'm not familiar. Tell me more. Let me take this and go home and think about it. And I'm excited that John has mentioned that some of the folks that we've given our invitations to and encourage them to go check out Fishes have done so.
Yeah.
So, and explain what that is, the invitation. There's a little invitation that you, it's a piece of paper.
Yep.
And you hand it to somebody at the beach. Maybe you handed some out at the farmer's market.
Yes.
And if they take that to your restaurant, John, and they hand it in to you, then they're entered for a drawing?
Yeah, yep. That's right.
And so we want to, at the holiday time, after folks have been coming through in the busy summer season, we want to draw one of these certificates where the sustainable seafood shopper has put their name and contact information, and reward their sustainable seafood shopping or consumption with a gift certificate for $50 to come back to Fishes. And again, it's sort of like repeating that circle.
Sure.
Of the individual makes a choice that yeah. supports the business, mm-hmm. that's supporting the industry, that supports the ocean, that supports us all.
That's well done. I would just say that. I mean, very impressive the way this all come together. And I was fortunately checking my emails one late night, and I saw the email to be invited to this. I'm all over sustainability regardless, mm-hmm. but to be aligned with the Haystack Rock Awareness Program and then the Seafood Watch, it inspires me and rewards you for what you're doing as mm-hmm. the right thing. So we kind of, not lucked into it, but it was like it's meant to be because we're doing the right thing anyway.
And you come to this from an angle of as a surfer too, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I've been surfing my whole life, and
healthy oceans are good for surfers
too. Right. Yeah, you know, being a good steward of, you know, the blessing of surfing and food, and you know, the topic of fishing, as you talked about, is just a big one to hear.
Yeah.
And I am by no means an expert. I'm learning a lot, and I love mm-hmm. the idea of being able to be sensitive to, you know, history and people mm-hmm. and culture. And then, you know, try and measure what's the best thing to do mm-hmm. and be sensitive, but also sharing knowledge with people to, so that they yes. can open their minds to how we can continue to do the right thing and be on the same page, you know, going forward and helping with, you know, our niece. I don't have any kids, but my nieces and nephews and their kids being able to enjoy the bounty of harvest. I mean, Oregon is so... It's crazy.
And it's celebrating the culture of how all that came to be here in this state, and especially this part of the region, which is so rich in delicious food.
When you're focusing on sustainability, you really do have to take a long view, and it's mm-hmm. thinking beyond your own lifetime and really thinking about, this is something that I get to enjoy now, and I love this, but it would be great if, you know, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren can also be enjoying that too. And in order to do that, the choices that we're making today are going to ensure that either they can or they can't enjoy those kind of abundances further down the line.
So I have a question. How often does this get updated? I mean, you know, you can actually maybe see
work. The Seafood Watch, the brochure, the guide.
I mean, I think the Monterey Bay Aquarium program, Seafood Watch program, has made a commitment to update them on a quarterly basis.
Uh-huh.
And so, for example, in talking with John earlier this spring, we received a bunch of the Seafood Watch pocket guides, and we were just starting to get those, you know, out the door in people's hands, and the update for the fall and winter came out just a few weeks ago, and so we were asked to please recycle that outdated information and only hand out the new fall winter guides, mm-hmm. and I imagine we'll be doing the same again in the spring and then next summer, and so...
So it's really the latest...
It
information.
Is. Yes.
And did you see much of a difference? I mean, did you notice some? I mean, this would affect you and what you order at the restaurant.
Yeah. No, I didn't see much of a difference, actually, you know, but I do know that they are working together to improve processes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can make it so it's not sustainable. I mean, sometimes it's not possible, and there's so much history involved with however you're farming it.
Yeah,
you know, and people think it's an interesting topic. You know, farmed, and because there's farmed unagi, which is not sustainable.
Right.
And so you know, you have that idea.
Yeah, farmed seafood can be some of the most polluting. Actions out there, but I know that there are a lot of people who are looking at ways to do it so that it's not so fraught with. Pollution.
An interesting thing I learned sort of on a side tangent, because I feel like there are so many side mm-hmm. tangents into this conversation. I was at an education conference of marine educators in Canada recently, and I met some educators from Taylor Shellfish Farms and mm-hmm. had never heard of them. And they were sharing things that they do in classrooms with kids to teach them about aquaculture and oysters. Mm-hmm. And then they had some oysters available, which were delicious. And I'm mm-hmm. not really a mollusk girl. I'm a crustacean fan myself. But anyway, one of the things I hadn't really thought about, which is very basic, is that some animals like shellfish animals like oysters and mussels that are filter feeders, uh-huh. they are filtering their food out of the water. So they actually have a really cleansing or sort of screening effect on the water that they're being farmed in versus some other fish, maybe some of the Atlantic salmon that need to be fed pellets of other fish mm-hmm. And pesticides or hormones or colors to give them that nice red wild color. You know, they are a species or a group of animals that maybe add things to the water in their farming mm-hmm. practice. So like mm-hmm. John was saying, we're, I think as a, you know, human species, we're exploring ways that we can farm many of these different animals in a sustainable way, but just the word farmed is not conclusive. And mm-hmm. even down to the species, it's not just the what and the how, but the where. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's really a lot to learn, and it's exciting to be part of that learning process.
It's such a cool program. It really is. And it'll be fun to see it. Other businesses pick this up too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we always talk about a recipe on this show, too.
I was just thinking, and I want to focus on the positive. Let's talk about eating some fish.
Tuna is running right now. What are you fixing, John?
Well, tonight we're going to be featuring, and we've done that.
Well, and I should make mention that we're pre-recording this, so tonight is not actually tonight.
Okay, you're right.
Well, right now, at this time, one of the things you're cooking
is... The cool part, Ecola Seafood is a market in Cannon Beach, and the fisherman there, Cindy's husband, what's the name of someone, but he got these tuna for me.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. He went fishing and got the tuna, and he lives right there. So
we're talking with them about their being a partner in the project.
Cool.
Soon too.
That's good.
Wonderful.
That's good. So he brought me some tuna. So what we're doing is I'm going to poach it in olive oil with some rosemary from the garden. Have some slivers of garlic in that. So just basically heat the oil a little bit, drop the tuna in there briefly. You want to cook it nice and medium rare. And then we're going to do a market sauce, basically stuff that I get from the market. Since tomatoes are just yummy
right
these days.
Now.
Capers and garlic and shallots, a little bit of white wine in there,
beautiful.
some mushrooms. So it's going to be that sauce with the tuna. It's absolutely
How
delicious.
Long do you poach it? And you're just talking straight olive oil? So
right.
That's just not frying it?
Frying would be at like 350.
Uh-huh.
Poaching would probably be more in the range of the oil's probably around 200
degrees. So it's
degrees.
A low heat.
It's a low, just poaching it so it the skin isn't too... it's not seared,
crispy.
But it's
yeah.
And so, and then you poach it in there for probably 2 minutes, depending on the size piece. You know, just poaches the outside. It's so delicious.
That sounds so good. Yeah. That sounds so good.
Yeah, it does sound good. And Nala, are you cooking anything with seafood at home these days?
Well, I'm coming from the other side of the plate as a good seafood shopper. So, I think I enjoy cooking wild salmon in a variety of ways. But I'm really excited to be doing research by going to fishes and ordering things and looking on my smartphone app about why that fish is sustainable. And so I'm going to leave the cooking expertise to John and just enjoy it as a shopper.
It seems like a great way to do it. So while we still have a moment, I just want you to give our listeners a little bit of information about how they can find out more about these programs and how they can find out more about your restaurant. So if they want to get in touch, John, make a reservation at one of your restaurants, experience this, how do they do that?
Yeah, okay, well, Newman's is 503-436-1151. Fishes is 503-436-TUNA.
Tuna. Oh, nice. I like that.
436-TUNA.
8862 is the number. So those are the phone numbers. You can call Fishes is closed on Mondays, and then reservations is highly recommended at Newman's. Fishes is you can walk in for reservation. That's possible.
And are you open for lunch?
We're doing lunches, seasonal lunches, I'm calling them, where, you know, it's very busy these days. So we have seasonal lunches going from 12 to 2. And then our dinners are 5:30 to 9. And then Newman's is dinner 7 days a week these days, 5:30 to 9.
Okay. And these are both in Cannon Beach.
They're both in Cannon
Beach.
Do
you have a website for either of them?
Yeah, we can go to Newman's at 988.com or fishes-sushi.com.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
My pleasure. And thank you.
Nala, people can find you on the beach.
Yes, through August and through Labor Day, we'll be on the beach every day. And then a little bit through mid-September at low tide. And our program is available on the City of Cannon Beach website.
Okay.
You can just Google Haystack Rock Awareness Program and you'll eventually get there. We'd love to see you on the beach. But also we have an office at City Hall, and you can send me an email and love to talk with you further.
If people want to pick up one of these little seafood watch pocket guides, they can do so at your restaurant at City Hall.
Yes. And on the beach.
And then at OSU Extension, I believe.
And OSU Extension is going to have them at their front desk too. So
wonderful.
It'll be great.
Thank you guys so much.
This was a great show. Thank you.
It was a
wonderful program.
I know. Thank you so much for listening. And we want to thank our patient engineer, Mark Albrecht, and to Luke and Katie for our theme song.
Thank you for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast. And this show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org.